Hi, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe. This week in our Bible study program, we find ourselves back in 1 Timothy, and we're beginning chapter 3. And Lord willing also, our brother Jeff Buckles will be in Romans chapter 9 next week. The following week, we look again to have our brother Mark Beebe in Ephesians as he's about two-thirds of the way through that epistle. Let's look to the Lord in prayer to begin our message today and our program for the week. Father, we come into your presence. We have upon our heart those that are listening. We think of those that are out in the workplace, those that are in nursing homes, those traveling through in their vehicle. And we just pray that you would be upon the listeners, that you would, with your spirit, lead and guide. We ask that you would encourage those that hear the word. We pray for those that are listening in Randolph County and the areas round about. We pray for your hand of blessing this week upon the radio ministry. We just ask for your guidance, leading in all areas of it, Father. We pray for your guidance in the preparing of these messages and the hearing thereof. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have a tremendous chapter here we're looking at. We see in this chapter that it covers, to begin with, the first 7 verses. It looks at the oversight, those who are the under-shepherds, those that are the spiritual leaders, shepherds, overseers in the meeting, those that have a burden to shepherd the flock. That's the oversight. And then we see the assistants being the deacons. We see a difference between the two, and that's in verses 8 to 13. We see in verses 14 to and 15, speaks of the house of God, a verse we've quoted quite often thus far in our studies in 1 Timothy. And it speaks of the theme of what we have in this book, speaking of how we are to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we see in verse 16 a tremendous verse. We see there are many great 3:16s in the Bible. We think of John 3:16. But here we see in 1 Timothy 3:16, the end of the chapter, a tremendous verse that speaks of our Lord and give some tremendous attributes of Him. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. My friend, we have a tremendous chapter before us. Any chapter that concludes with the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, we have a tremendous chapter before us. May we attempt to cover in this week the first few verses of the chapter. We see that this chapter falls between obviously, chapter 2 and 4, but the significance I see in that is chapter 2 speaks of prayer and the role of women, and chapter 4 speaks of the latter times. The Spirit speaks expressly in chapter 4 that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, and it goes on from there. So we see in the midst of the chapters about the latter times and the chapter about prayer and behavior in the local assembly, we see here chapter 3 covering biblical leadership. You know, if you turn over there to 1 Corinthians and you see all the tremendous problems that they were having over there, they had a lot of things that were not in order, and God emphasizes in that one book itself, that one letter to the church at Corinth, that God does all things decently and in order. He's not a God of confusion. But you know, when Paul had to address that local church at Corinth, confusion. And therefore, he was the one appointed by God to write to them. It's now in the tenacity of Scripture. It's part of the inspired Word of God. And there at Corinthians, in that book, the believers there at Corinth were having some difficulties. And one thing to note in that book, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I do not believe you'll find any mention. They may have been there, but they certainly weren't mentioned of. If they were, there was no mention of any oversight. No mention of bishops, overseers, shepherds, elders, pastors. These terms are interchangeable in the New Testament. There was no mention of any assistants as the deacons. The deacons sometimes are used as the leadership in a meeting, but biblically speaking, they are to be the assistants to the leadership. And as we can see expressly through the New Testament, that this is the pattern. But in the 1 Corinthians, there is no oversight mentioned. Isn't that unique? That there weren't any ones mentioned as having a burden to shepherd the flock? Oh, there might have been ones there. I don't know. But we do not see it recorded in Scripture there. And that fits the mold of what we see. There was no order. Paul went in there encouraging them in many areas, such as in worship, as in the order of the meeting, such as in love, such as in, you name it, many areas of disorder that was in that meeting. But there's no mention of shepherds in that meeting. So there is such a great need today of godly men shepherding the flock of God. Now, we noted in Colossians that Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the body. He said in Matthew, before the church age began, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He did not say, I would build it and call it another man. The man that is the head of the church is the God-man in heaven. There is no man on earth that's the head of the church on a local level or universal level, such as that man in Rome who thinks, and they have the false doctrine of saying that the Pope in Rome is the head of the church. That is false. That is inaccurate. Christ is the head. We see in a local level, many times people will say, so-and-so, this is his church, my friend. I know that's said sometimes in ignorance, said without meaning anything of harm, but think of the Word of God and the one who died for your sins and who bought you and who is the one that the bride of Christ will one day be with, her bridegroom, the Lord himself. It is his church. May we never call a local church such and such church a man. Oh, you may be speaking of a godly brother that's a good, encouraging shepherd or a teacher or an encourager in that meeting. But let us hold fast to the Word of God that this and any local assembly that we may speak of that's fundamental in the Word, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head and no man. So as we see here that there are shepherds, those that are to lead the flock and discern the will of God to feed the flock. We would like, in the will of the Lord this week, to look at some areas such as what are the qualifications of those in this role, as we have before us and also in the book of Titus. The only time I would also mention, the only time you see that bishops and elders and pastors are mentioned in a singular term in the New Testament is when it's speaking of the qualification of each individual one. But any time it's seen in a practical, specific way in the New Testament, it's always used in a plural tense. I've really mentioned that a lot in the last year or so, but it's so often ignored today that we like the idea of being so comfortable in just letting one man do everything in our day and age that we ignore the Scripture. It's always, except when it's talking about the qualifications of each individual leader, it's always mentioned in a plural sense. Maybe we'll look at that. But today and this week we would look primarily at what is the qualifications of a shepherd, what is his responsibility, and also what is the responsibility of the remaining flock in the rest of the Christians. How are we to react and treat those that are shepherding the flock? So those three main areas may take the whole week. There's so much to say about the oversight. The Lord really, when he looks at the church of God, it's not a building, it's the people. We see ecclesia, the called out one. That is the church, the body of Christ, the people. Biblically speaking, the church is not a building, it is the people of God. And we see that God has such a love for the church because the scripture says that Christ died for the world in John 3:16. In Galatians, Paul spoke of how Christ gave himself for me specifically, and he spoke of himself as an individual. But we see in Ephesians chapter 5, that glorious chapter there, it speaks of how Christ gave himself for the church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, he was speaking of his death upon the cross. He gave himself for the church before the church age ever began. Before the day of Pentecost, before the rending of the veil, there it was. He was upon that cross, and he gave himself for his bride. So what he says about the local church and the universal church as well, we that know him as the body of Christ, his bride, his church, he has tremendous, compassionate feelings for us. For, hey, as we have noted in Ephesians 5, it speaks of how a man never has hated his own body, that he ought to love his wife, as scripture makes it clear that a man and his wife are one flesh. They are one. Well, when we think of being in Christ, we think of him being the bridegroom and we being the bride. That is the intimacy that's there. So when he thinks of the church, he's thinking of his own body. Christ is the head and we are the rest of the body. What a tremendous illustration that God uses with the body throughout the New Testament, speaking of those that are his children, that are in his own body. What a figurative example of what we are in the intimacy of being in Christ. Blessed be to him for saving us and then putting us in that glorious position of being in the body of Christ. So as we have said that in some preliminary discussions, I'll just read the first verse here because it's going to be tomorrow before we get into the qualifications of an overseer, of a shepherd, of a bishop, elders. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the work or overseership," the King James says the office of a bishop, but if you would note that if you look up in a Strong's or Greek concordance, that is lumped together as one word in the Greek. The office of a bishop is actually the word overseership. It's one word in the Greek. This is a true saying, if a man desire overseership, he desireth a good work. My friend, it is a work. If there's one out there today listening that would desire to be part of a local body of Christ in shepherding that flock, we would encourage that. Two things I want to encourage this week that ones would check yourself and see if you have that desire and then see if you're going down the path in the way the scripture says would make you a godly example to be a shepherd. My friend, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be someone as a Bible school graduate. That's not a prerequisite in the New Testament. Education and knowledge of the scripture is very necessary, but it doesn't have to come from a quote-unquote official school. We must emphasize that. But we would challenge, if there's any out there today that would desire this work. It is that. It's not someone who just has a title and waits around for Sunday time to preach. It is someone who works among the people of God. And I'll just close with that today. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, in the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.